Exodus chapter 20. We're turning today to the ninth commandment. We have the ninth commandment contained in the words of verse 16 here in Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Let's just pause for a moment and pray for God's help and blessings as we come to the preaching of his truth today. Our Father in heaven, we bless you for the privilege that is ours once again to be found before the word of the living God. We pray, O God, that was hushed down every distraction, hushed down all that is not conducive to worship and to receiving the good seed into our hearts. And we pray, O God, that would speak this day. Give me help to preach thy word. We come to thee once again acknowledging our weakness, our inability. We pray, O God, that would give us help, that would give us power. Indeed, pour out of your spirit upon us. Enable us to preach as we ought to preach. Lord, also enable us to hear as we ought to hear. But most especially, enable us to obey as we ought to obey. Speak, O God, to the need of every heart here today. May Christ be glorified in all that is said and done. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And returning today to the ninth commandment, we're coming to consider what this commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, demands. What it demands. Last time we thought upon what it denounces, what it forbids, what it condemns. Now we noted three sins of the tongue, which are violations of the ninth commandment. These sins are lying, slander, and talebearing. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon writes to his son that he might be a wise young man, and that his life might be one that is both holy and happy. But as Solomon instructed his son in wisdom and knowledge, he warned him about all three of these particular sins of the tongue. He mentions all of these sins. In Proverbs 12, in the verse 22, he told him, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. In Proverbs 10, in the verse 18, he says to him, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. And in Proverbs 26, in the verse 22, he says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. As the wise King Solomon spoke to his son about these sins, he was reminding him how careful he needed to be in regard to the things which he said. He was saying, son, be wise and keep a watch over your words. How easy it is to fall into the sins of talebearing or slander, or even like Peter when he denied Christ, it is easy to speak a lie. Sinning with our lips, breaking God's holy law with our words, is one of those sins in which we can be knee-deep. We can be knee-deep even before we realize. And yet even though it is so easy to fall into sin with our words, such sin, such a breaking of God's law, it brings with it sad and serious consequences. This is something that is brought before us by the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 59, in the verse 1, God's servant tells the people of Israel, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And so Isaiah here is speaking of how God's power is not diminished, and he's still able to save, and he's still able to deliver. And of course, this is wonderful news. This is encouraging news. God's arm is not shortened that he cannot save. And his ear isn't heavy that he cannot hear. God is able to hear the prayer of his people. He's able to deliver. He's able to save. He's able to work with great power. Bring times of renewal. But then Isaiah goes on to say this in verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Here was the reason why God was not hearing prayer. Here was the reason why God was not manifesting his power amongst these people. It was because of their sins. It was because of their iniquities. And God was refusing to hear. He hid his face from them. Now what was the sin? What was the sin that caused God to hide his face from these people, from the people of Israel? Well, Isaiah goes on to explain it. And this is what he says now in verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah 59. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. And this is speaking about the sin of their works. Their hands are defiled with blood and their fingers with iniquity. They were doing wicked things. But then Isaiah goes on to say this. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. And of course, this is speaking of the sins of their words. And this was why God would not hear these people. Not only because of the things that they did, but also because of the things that they declared. Because they spoke lies with their tongues. They muttered perverseness. There was no calling for justice or pleading for truth. And they spoke vanity and spoke lies continually. And what was the result of this? God would not hear. God hid his face from them. How important it is that we give careful heed to the sin that is denounced in this ninth commandment. For this is a sin that causes God to hide his face from us. This is a sin that is marked out in Scripture as a sin that will cause God to refuse to hear our prayers. And so it is the most solemn and the most serious sin. However, today, as we return again to the ninth commandment, we're considering what this particular precept demands. What it demands. What does this commandment positively require of us? Last time we were thinking about this commandment in the negative sense, what it denounces, what it forbids. Now we want to see it in the positive sense, what it actually requires of us, what it demands of us. What are we to do? You see, as it tells us here what we're not to do, it by implication teaches us what we are to do. As God says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour, he is at the same time saying, thou shalt bear true witness before thy neighbour. And this is what is implied in this commandment. As God says we're not to bear false witness against our neighbour, he said, you are to bear true witness before your neighbour. Therefore, what the ninth commandment demands of all men and all women in every walk of life is the truth. The ninth commandment demands of us the truth. God is the God of truth. Titus 1 and 2 tells us God cannot lie. It is then no surprise that which God demands of all men is the truth. This is what he demands in our lives, the truth. I'm thinking of how God in the ninth commandment demands truth of all men. I want us then to consider how God demands truth in our lives in a number of different ways. God demands truth of us through the ninth commandment in a number of different ways. In the first place, we can say God demands we declare the truth. God demands we declare the truth. That is, we speak the truth and that the words of our mouth are accurate and true. The Lord speaking through his servant Zechariah says in Zechariah 8 and 16, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth. We are to speak truth with our neighbor. As we communicate with others, we are always and only to speak the truth. This is what we are to do. This is what God says, the things that we shall do. Speak the truth, every man with his neighbor. The Bible actually tells us, as we speak with others, we are only to use words that will be helpful and edifying to them. And this is what Scripture commands God's people. As we communicate with others, we are only to use words that will be helpful and edifying to them. This is what we read in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Nothing that is corrupt. Nothing that is vile. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And so, by our words, we are not only not to harm others, but we are to help others as we speak, as we communicate with other people. We are to lift them up. We are to help them. We are to edify them as we use words. We should also remember the very solemn words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 12 and the verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word, we will be called to give account of it in the day of judgment. The word idle here means unhelpful. Unhelpful. And it takes in that whole realm of gossip and foolish conversation. We are not to employ our tongue in this idle or unprofitable way. Rather, we are simply to declare the truth. We are to speak the truth. Because every word that passes our lips, we will give an account of in the day of judgment. Now, as we think of this great duty of declaring the truth, there are two ways the Christian must speak the truth. Two ways. In the first place, the Christian must declare what we could call basic truth. We are to declare what is basic truth. That is, in the ordinary business of life, in the everyday to day things of this world, we are always to speak the truth. Always to speak the truth. In every area and every part of life. As the Lord Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount, he said in Matthew 5:37, "Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay." That is, yes, yes, and no, no. And so the Lord Jesus was saying, listen, when you speak, speak yes, yes, and no, no. James says a very similar thing in James 5:12. Let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Now the principle that has been set forth in these verses is this. Let your speech in the common conversation and daily business of life be marked with simple truthfulness. And that's all that Christ is saying. And that's all that James is saying. Let your yes be a yes, and let your no be a no. And all of the ordinary, common, everyday things of life, speak the truth. Let your yes be a yes, and let your no be a no. We're to speak the truth in our families, with our children, with our parents. Speak the truth in our homes. We're to speak the truth in the workplace and in business. Always speaking the truth. You're even to speak the truth in social and recreational activity. Among strangers and friends, we are to be honest and truthful in our words. Accurate even in what we might term the small matters in life. And this is what Scripture is pointing out. Accurate even in those things that we might think are really insignificant. Just in the basic yes, yeses and no, nos. God demands truthfulness. Because again, remember, every word will give an account for it in the day of judgment. And so the Christian must declare basic truth. Basic truth. But then the Christian must also declare biblical truth. This, of course, is the all-important truth, the unchanging truth, the greatest truth of all. And it is the truth which men and women perishing in their sin so desperately need to hear. As the ninth commandment denounces the bearing of false witness against our neighbor, it demands that we witness to our neighbor of the one who is the truth. And do you see what has really been said here? We're not to bear false witness against our neighbor. Therefore, we're to do the opposite. And we are to speak the truth to our neighbor. And therefore, we must speak to our neighbor of he who is the truth. Jesus Christ himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We must speak to our neighbor of Jesus Christ and the truth in regard to him and the truth in regard to their souls and their need of Christ. The second, or the ninth commandment, demands we evangelize our neighbors. That's what it demands of us. That we speak the truth to those who need it. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. This reveals to us how man, in his natural state, his naturally sinful state, is in darkness. He is ignorant as to his true state as a sinner. He's also ignorant as to his need of the Savior. And this is why the vast majority of men and women tragically continue to live and die as they do, because they know not the truth. They know not the truth. In our world today, there is great emphasis on education. Go into university. And the amount of people that have been to university, the amount of people with a good education today, has never been as great as in any time before. And yet the sad reality is, the most important and essential truth of all, the truth of Christ and salvation, is just cast to the one side, and people are totally ignorant of Jesus Christ. Yet God commands, or yet God's command to us, is that we are to bear not false witness against our neighbour, but we are to bear witness to them of the truth. The words of the Lord Jesus in Mark 6:15 clearly reveal it is the Christian's duty to declare biblical truth in this world. Christ has said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And this is not only the duty of the minister and the missionary, but it's the duty of every single Christian. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Indeed, the word of God actually teaches us how we are to speak the truth, how we are to speak saving truth to those around us. It tells us how we are to do it. We are to speak the truth loudly. Turn over with me to Ezekiel 33 just for a moment. Ezekiel 33. Notice what it says here in the opening verses of this chapter. Ezekiel 33. The Lord here was speaking unto Ezekiel concerning the people that he lived amongst. Ezekiel 33 in the verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man off their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if any seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, notice these words, if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman upon the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. And you see what the Lord was telling Ezekiel here. He was saying, you're a man who knows the truth. I have given to you the truth. You know the way of salvation. Therefore, you're a watchman to these people. And what he was saying was, listen, go out and blow the trumpet. Give that clear and certain sign to the people that they need to repent and turn from their sin. You see, God was telling Ezekiel how he had to preach and how he had to go forth and declare the truth like the watchman. And you see, the watchman didn't give an uncertain sign. He didn't blow half-heartedly. He didn't blow in a slack manner. That was a faithful watchman. He blew loudly and clearly that all could understand. And what is this teaching us? It's teaching us how we are to declare the truth to those that need it. We're to be like watchmen and watchwomen. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. Think of those words. If our gospel be hid, it's hid from those who are tramping the road to hell and outer darkness. We need to give the warning. We need to declare the truth loudly. The word of God also teaches us we are to speak the truth liberally. Think of Christ's command again in Matthew 16:15. Preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. And that was the thought of going out there and speaking to all men and all you come into contact with the gospel. We're to speak the truth liberally, loudly. And we're also to speak the truth lovingly. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Yes, we are to warn men about sin. That's not a popular message, especially in these days in which we live. To warn them about sin. But we are especially to set Christ before men. That's what we are especially to do. To tell them simply and sympathetically. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How important it is that we not only declare basic truth, but that we essentially declare biblical truth. We declare biblical truth. That we warn our fellow men and women of the consequences of their sin and direct them to a loving Savior who will save all that by faith come upon him for salvation. And let me just say this today. as I move on from this point, as I stand in this pulpit, this is my job, in a very specific sense, to declare the truth. My job is to declare the truth to God's people. But it's also to warn those who are out of Christ, still in their sin, that they need to repent. I'm the watchman today. I'm the one bringing God's message to your soul today, that you need to be saved. And if you ignore the declaration of the truth, then you're without hope and you're under God's judgment, eternal judgment. You need to repent and seek Christ earnestly for salvation. And so God demands we declare the truth. But then in the second place, we also see from the ninth commandment that God demands we defend the truth. We defend the truth. Again, this is very much implied in the words of the ninth commandment. If we are not to bear false witness against our neighbor, then we must defend the truth against every lie and every false and evil way. In this fallen and wicked world, the truth is continually under attack from the lies of the devil and those who are under the devil's control. Isaiah 59, verse 14, speaks of how truth has fallen in the street. Truth has fallen in the street. And we can certainly say this is the case in the times in which we live. Truth is trampled on. It lies in the street. It's ignored. There are many, and we could perhaps say the vast majority, that call evil good and good evil. And so truth is under attack. Oh, it is severely under attack in our world. And we see it every day and we see it continually. Truth is under attack. Therefore, if the Christian does not defend the truth, if the Christian does not raise a voice of opposition against every false and evil way, by their silence, they're bearing false witness against their neighbor. Do you see what I'm saying here? If you do not stand against that which is evil, if your silence when false, that which is false is declared, by our silence, we are condoning that which is false. And we're bearing false witness against our neighbor. The Apostle Paul was a preacher of truth. This is what he declared in Romans 9 in the verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. After his conversion, this was the great mission of Paul's life, to preach Christ, to declare the truth. Yet remember what Paul also said in Philippians 1 in the verse 17. This is what he said. Remember, he was a preacher of truth. He said this, I am set for the defense of the gospel. This was the position that Paul had taken up. And there is there that sense of a soldier defending ground. I'm set in defense. I'm going to guard the truth. This is the ground that I'm holding at all cost. This was Paul's mentality. This was his position. And of course he did defend the truth against every false doctrine and evil way. And if you read his epistles, that is so clearly brought out. He was a man set for the defense of the gospel. How different this is from the false prophet spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. This is what he described in Isaiah 56 in the verse 10. Speaking of the false prophets, he said, they are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Here were people that refused to defend the truth. And that's the imagery here. It's a tremendous picture painted. Think of an old dog, an old guard dog. And the old dog, perhaps it ate so much it wouldn't even stand up. It sat there dozing and sleeping at the gate. And someone came in to attack the property. And the dog was so fat and so lazy and so sleepy of itself, it wouldn't even rise up to bark. Well, this is exactly how God's word describes those who will not defend the truth. Those who will not stand up for Christ's truth. Dumb, sleepy dogs. This is God's word, not me. If the Christian is to bear witness to the truth in this world, then they must not only be declarers of the truth, but they also must be defenders of the truth. Defenders of God's word. Now, in thinking of this requirement that is attached to the ninth commandment, the requirement to defend the truth, consider with me two things in regard to how the Christian is to defend the truth. The Christian must defend it, but how are we to defend the truth? Well, the Christian is to defend the truth constantly. We are to defend the truth consistently. This is brought before us in a most solemn manner in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Turn over with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13 just for a moment. Notice what it says here in this portion of Scripture. Very solemn words set before us here in Deuteronomy 13. We'll read from verse 6 down to the end of verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 13, reading from verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shall I spare, neither shalt I conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now these are very solemn words, but there is a very important principle that is set forth here. A very, very important principle. And that principle is this. The Christian is to hold to the truth consistently. We are to put it above earthly relationships and any other connection that we have in this world. And that's what the Lord was saying to his people here. Think again of the words of verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul. And so here are very close relationships spoken about here. If these people who are so close to you entice thee secretly saying, let us go and serve other gods. And see the setting here. Here are people who are of the closest relationships to us. And if they seek to draw you away from the truth and into darkness, that's what the Lord is saying here. And he tells them what they are to do. Now the reason why God said to Israel these things is because men are very often inconsistent when it comes to the truth. The reason why the Lord brought these relationships before the people of Israel is because men are very often inconsistent when it comes to dealing with the truth. Yes, they're happy to be valiant for the truth when it affects other people. They're happy to point the finger at other people and say, listen, they're doing wrong. That's shameful what they're doing. Look at your man over there. And, oh, they can really be good at being valiant for the truth when it affects other people. Things are very often different when it directly affects us. When it affects us, standing for the truth, we can be so often very different. We see this in family life. Oh, when it affects perhaps your children or some relation. Well, you wouldn't just be so hard and so strict and so valiant for the truth. Or we see it very much in political life. But this is very evident in political life. You'll have political parties attacking each other. And they'll condemn the opposition. And they'll point the finger and say, look what they're doing. And then someone else in their own party does the same thing. And they ignore it. They ignore it. Or maybe we support a political party. Or a particular candidate. And we think they're great. And when they fall into some particular sin or behave in a disgraceful way, well, we don't really go that hard on them. This very often happens in politics. Do you know the sad thing is? It's also found in the church. Also found in the church. So severe on other people. And yet when it comes to your door, we have different rules for different people. Yet this ought not to be the case. In our defense of the truth, we are to be consistent. And this is really what verse 9 is bringing out before us here. Verses 8 and 9, really. In this passage in Deuteronomy 13. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shall then I pity him, neither shalt I spare, neither shalt I conceal him. And so even despite these close relations, what's the Lord saying? You're not to pity. But he goes further, verse 9. But thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. Do you see the principle here? You're to be so valiant for truth that when error and wickedness is found in a relation, you're to be the first one to raise a voice of opposition, not someone else. You're to be the one that opposes, stands for truth. Of course, this is not an easy thing. Not an easy thing. But this is what God's word demands. The Christian is to defend the truth consistently. But then we also see here, or we could point out from Scripture, the Christian is to defend the truth courageously. Not only consistently, but courageously. In Proverbs 23 and the verse 23, the exhortation is given, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. And the thought is, lay hold upon the truth, claim it, and don't sell it at any cost. Don't sell the truth at any cost. I know a man. He's retired now, but he had a very big job, we could say. Top job. He managed quarries in the UK. And he's an elder in one of our churches. Godly man. But his job was managing quarries for this big firm that was owned by a billionaire, a very wealthy man. And he managed these quarries. And he worked for a number of years over here. And this man that owned these quarries, he had some quarries in America as well. And they realized when they examined the books that things weren't being done right in America. There was money that was missing. It was disappearing. And so they came to this man who I know, and they asked him, would you go to America and take over and see what's going on and sort this out? And he went on one condition. Would he hear his condition? He said, I'll go to America as long as you fly me home every week to the prayer meeting. And that's what he did. What a condition. But when he was in America, he found out the problem. They were swindling money, those that were in charge of these quarries, and it was all sorted out. But after it was sorted out a while later, the man who owned this company, remember, he's a billionaire, he could buy anything he wanted. Anything he wanted. And he came to this man and he said to him, listen, can I ask you a question? And he said, yes. He says, what would it cost to buy you? What would I have to pay to buy you? And do you know what he said to his boss, who was a billionaire, could buy anything? He said, you couldn't afford it. You couldn't afford it. And you see, here was a man who had bought the truth, and he wasn't going to sell it at any cost. And this is the position the child of God is to take in regard to the truth. We're never to compromise when it comes to the truth. We're never to sell it out. Ever. Upon any terms. This, of course, takes great courage. Tremendous courage. And it will most certainly bring us into conflict with a world that lies in wickedness. It will. Holding to the truth. Why was it that Daniel was thrown into the den of lions? Why did that happen? Because he wouldn't sell the truth. Why was it Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace? Because they wouldn't sell the truth. Why was it that many of our godly Protestant forefathers were willing to suffer and die horrific deaths? Because they would not sell the truth. They wouldn't sell it. In our society, where we witness the wickedest and most abominable evils promoted and gloried in, evils such as sodomy, abortion, evolution, atheism, many false religions, we need to courageously defend the truth, defend it at all cost. And I believe with all my heart this will be an issue going forward in our land. This defense for the truth. Christian, remember, you're never on the wrong side when you're on the side of truth. It doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter what people say of you. If you're on the side of biblical truth, If you're on the side of God's word, you're on God's side. And no matter what happens, it will be well. And so therefore, as we think about what the ninth commandment demands, God demands here we declare the truth. God demands we defend the truth. And very quickly in closing, we can also see in the ninth commandment, God demands that we demonstrate the truth. Bearing witness to our neighbour, whether that is a false witness or a true witness, involves more than just our words. Now, I know that this commandment really brings into focus how we use our tongue, and we must keep this before us. However, bearing witness goes beyond our words. Goes beyond our words. We can say bearing witness to our neighbour also involves our works. It involves our works. It involves the things we actually do and the deeds of our life. Paul told the believers in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, the verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In other words, he was telling them, follow my example. Observe how I live and what I do, and then walk in that way. Paul then demonstrated the truth in the way that he lived. He declared the truth in his behavior. He bore witness to the truth, not only with his words, but also with his works. But how important it is that we demonstrate the truth in our behavior. Oh, this is vital as well. There's no point in speaking the truth to other people, living the lie. Because the ungodly can point it out and see it a mile off. We are to demonstrate the truth in our works. Then we're also to demonstrate the truth in our worship. In our words, in our works, and in our worship. This is one of the greatest and most vital ways we can demonstrate the truth. By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You see, as the church comes together, as God's people meet to worship their God and Savior, it is a most powerful demonstration that we believe not only that God exists, but that we are completely dependent upon Him for all things. And that's what we're demonstrating. As we come into God's house, as we sing His praises, as we call upon His name for His help, as we place ourselves under His truth, we are demonstrating that we believe with all of our hearts that we are dependent upon Him for all that we need. Life, and for all that we need in regard to eternal life. Of course, even the way we worship is a great witness to the truth. The way that we worship. Paul told God's people in Colossae, in Colossians 3 and 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. See what Paul is saying there? Let the word dwell in you richly. And then sing out, worship the Lord with grace in your heart. And there's this sense of rejoicing and of gladness and being filled with praise. We're not just to come to God's house and sing half-heartedly. No, we're to sing with all of our souls and worship the Lord with all of our beings. Because in so doing, we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Half-hearted worship is a very bad witness to the truth. Whereas zealous and wholehearted worship is a tremendous testimony to the truth and to Christ. This is what the ninth commandment demands. We are to declare the truth. We are to defend the truth. We are to demonstrate the truth. May God enable us all not only to hate lying lips, to hate that which is a lie, that which is a slander and tale-bearing, but to love the truth. And to love the truth with all of our hearts. And to walk in the truth. To declare it. To defend it. And to demonstrate it in our lives. I trust God be pleased to bless His word to our hearts today, for His own name's sake. Amen.